every week, you know, we read things, we recite things, we hear things. And even if we've memorized them, oftentimes we haven't gone in depth. So I'm going to lead us through an explanation of what we call the communion prayers. And sometimes they're called the pre-communion prayers. There are other set of prayers after Holy Communion, which are about Thanksgiving. But these four prayers that are in this edition are lifted from a larger book that has about 12 prayers in preparation for Holy Communion. But these are like the last four in line there. So it's a nice thing to have for parishes to say. Now, the red letters are for everybody. So I want you to look there where it says in parentheses, "The communion prayers I recited silently by those prepared to receive the holy mysteries." Holy mysteries is another word for Holy Communion. So when you see that word, the mysteries, the sacraments in Greek are called mysteria. So every time you see mystery, could mean sacrament, but in this case specifically, it means Holy Communion. It says that they're said silently, but that would vary from one parish to the next on what the rubric and what the order in a parish is. The publishers of this book couldn't possibly anticipate every you know, configuration and every order that would be in a parish. So in our parish, we actually read them out loud. In some parishes, they do not. And should underscore that it says, by those prepared to receive Holy Communion. Sometimes we can understand a concept by imagining its opposite. So there's being prepared, and then there must be a not being prepared. And so it's an issue of in your conscience or just knowing the fact that either you are prepared or you're not prepared. Communion is for those who are prepared. So turn to the next page and the last sentence of that prayer. The first paragraph where it says, "And make me worthy without condemnation to partake of your pure mysteries." So you remember being in church week by week throughout the whole year. St. Paul, especially, I think it's on Holy Thursday when we kind of remember the institution of Holy Communion. He says, everybody examine themselves lest they partake unworthily by not discerning the body and blood of Christ. Okay, so there is a way of receiving somebody not even being a member of the church, etc. I mean, they don't know anything or just wanting to be brazen and come and receive communion in an unworthy way. There is a way to receive communion in an unworthy way and a way to receive communion in a worthy way. You know, some people will haggle over the word worthy. You know, nobody's worthy, everybody's worthy. Okay, we're not talking about being worthy. It's a gift. I'm just saying in an appropriate sort of, you know, cool way. And then there's an uncool way of receiving communion. We don't want to do the uncool way. So if we remember, St. Paul says, if you don't discern the body and blood of Christ, that would be an unworthy way. So now if we go to the very first sentences of this prayer, it starts with a confession of faith. So anybody who says this prayer is actually admitting, and in our case publicly, and we're grown-ups, right? What we say counts, okay? If you don't believe it, don't say it, that you are a Christian. You believe, this is basically from the creed, that Christ, Son of God, meaning he's also divine, is being the same nature, and that he came to earth. That means that he was incarnate, right? And to save sinners of whom I am the first. And that's an admission of sin. So all that part of the creed that's about, you know, the Lord Jesus and him coming and dying on the cross, right there in one sentence. And if you say that, you're saying, I am a Christian, right? The second sentence, I also believe that this is truly your pure body and this is truly your precious blood. That is affirming your membership in the church and as an Orthodox Christian. And probably it wasn't maybe in the mind of the person who wrote this prayer at the time because there weren't such a variety of, you know, Christian denominations. But there are Christian denominations who don't believe that when they do the Lord's Supper that it is really the body and really the blood. Okay, another understanding, you know, of Christianity. But the Orthodox you know, understanding is that in the Orthodox Church, we do the Eucharist, and it is the body and it is the blood. So we have two confessions. I am a Christian, I'm an Orthodox Christian, and I believe that this is the true church where those mysteries and those sacraments take place. So as far as faith and discerning whether it's the body and blood, if you can honestly say those two sentences, then you're not taking unworthily on those points. And then it asks for forgiveness of any personal sins. And, you know, oftentimes there is debate of what is a known and unknown and a voluntary and an involuntary sin. You know, let's concentrate on the sins we know. However, ignorance in society is no excuse, for the ignorance of the law is not a defense, you know. And I think most of us are literate and most of us know a lot of things, and we can and we are capable of knowing a lot of things. So it'd be good to know what are those things that keep the grace that God gives us in us, and what are those things that we could possibly do or think or say that would, you know, block the grace from coming to us or diminish it some way. And that's what sins are, things that don't jive with God. You know, like goes to like, and when we do things and, you know, think things and embrace things that aren't godly, then how can God, you know, relate to that, okay? So though the unknown, it's kind of up to us. Of course, we're not all going to get a theological degree. Those of us who know more are going to be, you know, held more accountable. However, it's good to know. As far as involuntary, well, without going into a big discussion, we have involuntary manslaughter, right? And that's considered a crime, but it was involuntary, right? So, I mean, there are involuntary sins, another discussion, but we're asking to be forgiven of those things. However, things that are mortal sins, like murder, heresy, adultery, and other similar sins like that, those are not so easily rectified by just asking for. There we've done something that has truly separated us temporarily from the grace of God, and that's where we need the laying of hands by the priest through confession and the, you know, the grace coming through that sacrament in order to go to communion. And then we ask, what should this communion be for? And it's not that we're telling God, make it for this. The prayers were written so that we would become aware of what communion is, but we want to be aware of that so that when we feel those things in us, energized in us, we know that comes from the grace of God and we can truly be grateful. Let's stand and pray now.